is a story, a narrative that Moses is relating to us. It's not an Aesop's fable. It's not once upon a time story with a happily ever after ending. But God is using the narrative in Exodus. He's revealing He's using the story in Exodus to reveal to His people His nature and His plan and His promises. He reveals to us who He is in the details of the narrative that Moses relays to us in Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. 10 expressions of His works and wonders that detail to us His character. Moses clearly articulates that in these 10 plagues, these 10 acts of judgment, we can discover the nature of God, something that we could never do if this information was not given to us through His written word. God wants us, God wants His people to know Him. Over and over in the text, He says that. I am doing this so that you may know me. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, that's what He says. In 7, verse 5, chapter 7, verse 5, chapter 7, verse 17, chapter 8, verse 10, chapter 8, verse 22, chapter 9, verse 14, chapter 9, verse 29, verse 29, chapter 10, verse 2, and chapter 11, verse 7, that you may know me. God wants, first of all, that Israel, His people, His chosen people, chosen by His grace, He wants them to know Him. He is setting forth early on in the Bible truths about Himself that He wants His people to know. This is the beginning of the nation of Israel. And God spoke to His people truths about Him in the 10 plagues. The 10 acts of judgment. But He doesn't just want Israel to know. He wants all of Egypt to know as well. That's what He says. That's what He expresses. Egypt will know that He is the Lord. Specifically, in Egypt, He wants the Pharaoh to know that He is the Lord. So He wants Israel, Egypt, Pharaoh, and He wants, actually, all the nations to know that He alone is God. Let me read to you a portion of what we read earlier this morning in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Look at John says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, same song, Moses and the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Specifically revealing to the 10 acts of judgment in Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. God wants the plagues to reveal to us the character of who He is. So, what does God want us to know about Himself through the plagues? And last week we went over three, only three. We're going to go over some more this morning. We're going to run it the same way we did last week. I'm going to give you some insight, some observations about the 10 plagues in general and what they reveal to us about the character of God. And then we're going to read the text before us. Okay? Just a matter of review, the three things that we talked about last week, the plagues reveal that God alone is the Savior of His people. These are themes that repeat themselves over and over in Scripture. We built a home in Brazil while we were down there as missionaries. And their construction is completely different. I'm not a builder. But you hear, you see these slabs, these concrete slabs. But there they have these, I think they're called footings. And they fill them with rebar, that metal bar. and they tie them all together. And so the whole foundation is tied with this, these metals, and they're all tied with each other, and they go up the columns. The rebar goes up the columns. Everything is tied together by these metal bars. And then they lay concrete to hold the structure up. These are fundamental truths that God is revealing to us. They're like the rebar that finds itself going through all Scripture. These things that I'm saying, that the plagues reveal to us about God, are who God is. And as God begins this nation in Egypt and takes them to the promised land, these themes will repeat themselves over and over in Scripture. And the first one is that God alone is Savior of His people. Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus Christ Himself is the Savior of His people. One of God's ultimate purposes in the plague is that only God can save His people from His wrath and His judgment. These great acts of judgment against Egypt are in the text stated for the direct purpose of deliverance, redemption, and the salvation of His people. Don't forget that. God will call that to their mind over and over in Scripture. We sing sometimes a song here at church. It's called the Salvation Song. That Salvation Song finds itself in the pages of Scripture in the person of Jesus Christ. But if you remember, that wasn't the only characteristic or attribute of God that the plagues revealed to the people of Israel. They also revealed to Israel that God alone is sovereign. He's the one in control. Not Pharaoh, not the Egyptian God. God is sovereign. He's sovereign over creation. He's sovereign over all the gods of Egypt. God destroys all the false gods of Egypt. He does. By exerting control over supposedly these false gods that were manifested to the Egyptians in frogs and gnats, flies. Can you imagine worshiping a fly? Or a gnat? Or a gnat? Or even the Nile River. God is showing His control over all things. And we made the point last week that God is even in control of the human heart. Pardon Pharaoh's heart. But those are the first two things. God is Savior. God is in control. But God also reveals through the plagues that God desires worshipers for Himself. God wants to make His nation, Israel, a worshiping nation. He wants His people to worship Him and Him alone. Well, look at some more things. Now, before we read the text, what are the plagues? What are these 10 acts of judgment revealing to us about the character of God? As we read, you will notice that over and over again, God makes the point that He is trustworthy and that His word is true. As Moses performs the plagues, he warns Pharaoh specifically of what is about to happen. And guess what? It happens just as God warned. God's word is true. These aren't just random events that happened. Natural disasters, you've heard of that. These aren't just natural disasters that happened. And then Moses explained them after the fact, using God perhaps as the reason for those natural disasters. No. These are planned events by God, decreed by God in His Word to reveal to the people that God's Word is true. If I say it, it's going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. God warns in detail by using His Word, and it happens just like He said. God's Word can be trusted. And over again in Scripture, you'll see that God's Word is true. It can be trusted. God's word is the difference between life and death. In fact, He says that to Moses. He says that to the people. These are words of life and death. If you obey them, you will have life. If you disobey them, you'll have death. Revealed to us in the 10 plagues. I work for an organization in Brazil as a missionary. The name of that organization was Word of Life. God's words are the words of life. God's way is perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30 says this. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a just shield for all those who take refuge in Him. God's word is true. God's written word is true. And God's living word, Jesus Christ Himself, is also true. Didn't Jesus say in John 14, 6, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. So that's another thing. As we read the text this morning, look at how God proclaims His word and His word is true. These plagues aren't a coincidence. It's not an after the fact. Another thing that we can see in the plagues is that God's judgments are real. It's not some type of virtual judgment. They're not allegories. These are real plagues happening to God's enemies. These are real suffering by the people of Egypt. God will, in the plagues, reveal to us that He is a just judge and He will judge His enemies. Our enemies. God does not apologize for judging. God takes full credit for this aspect of His nature. God's judgments bring glory to God. You know, if I were describing my father, I would sort of leave off the hard things that perhaps my father did, the hard things that were perhaps true. But I would like to convey Him in the best light possible. God isn't worried about His judgment. They, too, describe the glory and the character of God. And we do a disservice to God when we fail. When the Scripture points out His judgment, we sort of gloss over that. God is not embarrassed with His judgment. And the plagues reveal to us that this is the true nature and character of God. And I might point out that His judgments are specific and according to His word. They aren't some abstract, oh, I didn't know where that came from. God's judgments are tied to His word. He has already given us what's going to happen in the future, right? I think we sometimes get carried away with this God's judgment sometimes. I know, remember when the tsunami happened in Indonesia many, many years ago? And people were saying, you know, I believe this is the judgment of God. How do we know God didn't reveal that to us? I think the tsunami is part of living in a sin-cursed world. But we can't correctly say that the tsunami was the judgment of God against that part of the world. We can't say that because God didn't say to us that it was His judgment. But when God judges, and He will once again judge, it will because He is faithfully completing what He has stated to us in His Word. God will judge just as He said. So let's be careful in calling out things in the world that we see happening as God's judgment on sinful man. There's a story in Jesus' life, Luke chapter 13. You can turn there if you want, now or later. But some of the Jews come up to Jesus and say, did you hear about that tower that fell and it killed some Jews, innocent Jews? But did you hear about Pilate? He killed some innocent Jews. Did that tower fall on those people? Did Pilate kill those Jews because they were worse sinners than us? Sometimes that's what we think. You know, God's judgment comes on that part of the world because they're worse sinners than that, us. And Jesus doesn't, he doesn't say that. He says, they're not worse sinners than you. We're all sinners, and if you don't repent, you too will likewise perish. We are under, not us, but the world is already under the judgment of God. And when people die, that's an aspect of God's judgment upon them. Another aspect of the character of God revealed to us in the plagues is that God is holy and just in all His ways. In fact, that was the song of Moses that Revelation told us about. Moses sings a song, and in that song he says, "For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." God is just in his ways. All of his ways are holy. They are perfect. There is no contamination of sin. Holiness is basically the sum total of all of God's wonderful attributes. God wants his people to know that he alone is holy. Over and over he calls his people, "Be holy for I am holy." And that's a refrain that will repeat itself throughout all Scripture. Another attribute that the 10 plagues reveal to us about God, and as we read this section, I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind you of these expressions that God is trying to reveal to us about himself. God is patiently gracious with his enemies. And you will see that over and over again. He gives them 10 plagues, 10 warnings. He could have, he says, in chapter 8, I think, verse 22, he says, "I could have destroyed you in one. But I have given you 10. God is patient with his enemies, warning after warning. In the New Testament, I think Paul says, God is patient, he's slow. He has not returned because he wishes that all men what should repent and come to salvation. And so, until God's final judgment comes upon this world, God is repeatedly calling people to repentance. And that is a sign of a gracious God that we serve. And one more thing I want to highlight before we read the text is that God is faithful, and his faithful mercy extends to his children. You'll see that in the text over and over again, that God is faithful in his mercy towards his children. He makes a distinction in the 10 plagues between the Egyptians and the Jews, the Israelites, the sons of Jacob. He does not treat the Israelites the same way that he treats the Egyptians. He is merciful. He spares them from his 10 acts of judgment. And you'll notice that part of the land, the part of the land where the Jews lived, did not suffer most of the acts of judgment. I believe perhaps the only judgment that came upon the whole nation was the Nile River turning into blood. But after that, it appears to me that the Jews were spared from the gnats, the flies, the darkness, the sores, the cattle dying. And you'll see that God is so merciful to us, his people. He is long-suffering. We will sing it at the end of the service. He is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Audrey experienced it this week. Even though the Lord took her husband, he is now with God in heaven. He remains faithful to Audrey and her family. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. So just to review, the 10 plagues, the 10 acts of judgment reveal to us the fact that God is Savior, that God is sovereign, that God desires worshipers, that his word is true, that his judgment is real, that he is gracious with sinners, Egypt, his enemies, and that he is merciful to his children. Keep those in the back of your mind. And as we read this text, I pray that the Holy Spirit will make these truths jump out at you in your mind as you see the expression of these characteristics, attributes in the story that Moses gives us in chapters 9, 10, and 11. So those are the chapters that we're going to read today. 9, 10, and 11. We read 7 and 8 last week. Okay? You ready? We're not going to stand up. Follow along with me. It's not on the screen, so follow along with me in your Bible, chapters 9, 10, and 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go into Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field. The horses, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing, and the livestock of the Egyptians died. But none of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of the Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Take handfuls of from the kiln, and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took the soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. Notice that, the Egyptians. Verse 12, But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and go present yourself before Pharaoh, and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you, on you yourself, and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never had been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter. For every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. In Revelation, what was it, 100 pounds of hail? I don't know how big this hail was, but it killed you when it hit you. Verse 20, Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses, but whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slave and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, and on man and beast, and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down the earth. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field in all of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said to him, As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hand to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Chapter 11, 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandsons how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land, so that no one can see the land, and they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and all of the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day they came on earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined? So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. But which one of you are to go? Moses said, we will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and our daughters and with our flocks and our herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. But he said to them, the Lord be with you. If ever I let you and your little ones go, look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No. Go the men among you and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt. Such a dense swarm of locusts as has never been before, nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land, so the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and you, and therefore forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me. So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from the place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind. But Moses said, you must also let us have our sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take of them to serve the Lord our God, and we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the people go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you will die." Moses says, "As you say, I will not see your face again." Chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold and jewelry." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of all the people. So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is beyond the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, you and all the people who follow you,' and after that I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. This is God's word. Amen. Next week we'll get into the Passover, where God, one last act of judgment and one great act of mercy, that he spares the firstborn son. Will you bow your heads with me? Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this, your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we bring glory to you by reading your son's words in public. Lord, thank you, Lord, that this is a church who is committed to the sufficiency and the authority of your word. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us in the story of the 10 plagues, the 10 acts of judgment. And Lord, if there is by chance, not chance, by your sovereign design, someone here who does not know you as their Savior, may the words read today, may the warnings of your upcoming judgment convict them of their need of a Savior. May the word not harden their hearts, but soften their hearts so that they repent of their sin, ask you for forgiveness, and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will do that this morning in the hearts of those who perhaps are present, who don't know you as Savior. And Lord, encourage us, those of us who call you our Father, because of what you have done for us through your Son. Encourage us, Lord, with your great faithfulness that renews itself every morning. Lord, may our hearts be full of praise. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ask Steve and Gene to come up and we'll sing, "Great is Your Faithfulness." Why don't you stand and sing, and you'll have to turn around once again, because for some reason the screen behind me isn't working today.
Mm-hmm.